Log Talk Radio.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue Athletics. Here's your host, Kyle Charter. Boilermakers are an underdog as they head to Bloomington to beat the Hoosiers on Saturday after Purdue lost its fourth straight game. This one last Saturday to Nebraska. That's the football recruiting. Purdue got a couple of commitments and the latest basketball analysis that's coming up on Gold and Black Radio. I'm Kyle Charters. Tom Dienhard here. We'll talk to Brian Newbert in a couple of minutes. Tom, maybe it'll be a good thing to Purdue's an underdog on the road on Saturday for the Buckeye game because they're not winning as the favorite, including on Saturday. A game was difficult to watch. Maybe the worst 5 minutes of football to start a game by a favorite at home that I've ever seen. I don't know. Where does Purdue go from here? I guess it gets ready for a bucket game that's in a pretty atypical situation.
You talk about a boatload of adversity, Kyle. As you noted, four losses in a row. You have to go back to 2016 during the Darryl Hazel era to find a losing streak that long. And, it's almost been like Groundhog Day, too, watching these Purdue games of late with the special teams mishaps becoming a ritual every Saturday, it seems like. And the same issues on defense as well, Kyle. No turnover since the Northwestern game generated. Two sacks in four games to field on third downs as well. So on and on we go. And like you said, maybe a change of venue, maybe being an underdog against your rival. Maybe that'll do the trick. If you're Purdue, you have to try to be as positive as possible coming down the stretch of this season.
Yeah, there were so many games that were reversed in this bucket game, right, where Purdue was the team that was ranked in the top 25 and had so much to play for, and Indiana was the team on the outs. It's backwards in this one, but I guess if you're Purdue, this is your opportunity to salvage something this season and then with the crossover game in the next week and see what happens after that.
Yeah, you're exactly right. 2-4, nobody wants to be there. But like you said, if Purdue somehow can get this victory against what the best Indiana team since the late 80s, early 90s, we're going back almost 30 years here, that certainly would put some salve on what has been a disappointing season so far. I guess Purdue can still finish 500. But again, Kyle, like you said, knocking off your rival with its best program, best team in a generation certainly would please fans to a degree and give you some mojo going into that crossover game against what? A team like Michigan State or Penn State or maybe Michigan. So, yeah, you want some type of positive taste in your mouth here coming out of Saturday.
All right, so what was the most surprising / shocking thing that happened on Saturday?
I think the block punt, I mean, I don't want to pile on anybody, but God knows I've had my share of issues in life. But it's just exasperating to see, again, these special teams miscues weekly. Going back to Minnesota, blocked 27-yard field goal, pushed a 33-yarder to the right. And I know Dillinger's been dealing with a back issue, but still. Then we flash forward to Rutgers, the 100-yard kickoff return for a touchdown. And then Jeff Brohm told us, Kyle, last week, and who can blame him? I mean, he wanted to get more involved with the special teams during the week and the defense as well, try to get things fixed. All well and good, right? Well, we get to Saturday. What happens the first time Purdue has the punt? It gets blocked. And Nebraska covers at the one, scores a TD right away. And of course, they had their third-string walk-on punter making his first punt of his career. And it wasn't his fault, Kyle. There was a missed blocking assignment, but still, just a strange, you know, stew of stuff continues to pop up every week with these special teams, and it's just been crazy that they can't get things buttoned up.
Yeah, that was my reaction on that punt. I'm like, wait, why did Zach Collins not rugby punt that? And then I was like, wait, that wasn't Zach Collins. Who was
you
that?
Your program, didn't you? Who is that man?
I did. I'm like, wait a minute. I didn't even know they. I mean. I guess most teams carry a third punter, but I was like, wait, who, what's going on here? And you're right, it wasn't his fault. I mean, that was a breakdown up front, but
the breakdowns in the special teams are, I don't know, that's a little concerning for week seven or whatever we're in. Coverage breakdowns on punts. You've got a high snap on the one that Dellinger misses up there at Minnesota. I mean, all of it just adds up. If you just solved those things, you might have two more victories.
Yeah, couple kickoffs out of bounds, bobbling punt returns when there's no need to bobble them, but nobody breathing down your neck. And there's been enough to go around for every unit. The only thing we're waiting on, Kyle, I guess, is to give up a punt return for a touchdown, but I don't want to jinx Purdue any further. And I guess, Kyle, you didn't ask me, but I guess the second most eyebrow-raising revelation or occurrence, sadly, were 11 penalties. I can't remember the yards, 150, 160 yards. I mean, four penalties in the first quarter. You name it, personal fouls, about three or four holding penalties. Sideline interference. I mean, not a good look, right? I don't know what you think, but when you see that many penalties, you wonder about an inattention to detail and a lack of discipline. So, yeah, that was very, very concerning in my eyes.
Yeah. I mean, the sideline penalty, so that means an official ran into some sort of personnel on the sideline. That seems like that's just a simple, you know, don't stand on the white type rule. Purdue has 12 guys on the field. Yeah, get back.
Yep.
Purdue has 12 guys on the field for the extra point. Like, how does that even happen? Dedrick Mackey commits that personal foul on the sideline on a ball that he clearly watches go over his head and then just hits the guy. I mean, it was ugly from a discipline point of view, which is, you know, a frustrating place to be this late in the year.
And I don't understand why you don't even try to run the football. I know they got in that 17-0 hole, and that sort of makes running the ball tough, but still, it's only the first quarter. But right out of the gate, they looked like there was no plan to try to get the ground game established against the Nebraska defense that was 12th in the Big Ten against the run. I don't know about you, Kyle, but I'm a Xander Horvath fan, carries the ball a lot, and why not lean on him? You can keep the ball away from your opponent, you know, set up your passing game even more. Horvath is clicking. King DeRue's in better shape now. He looks like he's back to his freshman form. You know, I know they had three sacks for minus 21 yards, but that hurt their rushing total, Kyle, but 17 carries for minus 2 yards. And if you look at your freshly minted Big Ten football stats this morning, Kyle, go down to team rushing, slide your finger down to number 14, you'll find Purdue.
Well, they've had two games where they've totaled 0 yards, right? Two yards and then minus 2 yards.
Yeah, that was Northwestern game. 17 carries for 2 yards against the Wildcats. So 34 carries for 0 yards in two games. You know, and again, you know, back to the turnovers, the last turnover they got was second quarter against Northwestern. That's 14 quarters ago. And again, Kyle, sacks. I brought up sacks earlier. And Purdue's last in the Big Ten there. They played six games. They have five sacks. And, you know, we heard about how they wanted to rush the passer. I know Karloftis is out. That's a big part of this. But, you know what, you got to try to figure something out, bring some pressure. I don't know. These guys are paid a lot of money to figure things out and solve problems too.
Yeah, I feel like we're just having an airing out session on this Monday morning. And they give up three sacks, as you mentioned, and one of them against a three-man rush. It's like, oh.
Yeah.
So what happens this week? Purdue had several opt-outs. Last week, I'm not sure that any you like to have the depth, obviously. I'm not sure any would be qualified as a huge personnel loss right now, though you are now thin in your running back room. This is a tough question to answer, I guess, but what do you anticipate happens this week? Anything?
Yeah, that's going to be interesting, right? I mean, you're right that the players lost. You know, Jeff Brom acknowledged their names after the game Saturday. The running back room, like you talked about, hit the hardest: Tyreek Murphy, Alfred Armour, you know, Dejon Hewitt. Subtract those guys from your backfield, the cornerback DJ Johnson, the Iowa transfer. Not huge personnel losses from a productivity standpoint, but symbolically, I think, and I know there's a lot of reasons to opt out, Kyle, one of them being concerns about health and COVID. cetera, et cetera. Still not a ringing endorsement, I think, of maybe how things are going along within the facility. That's just my read. I mean, and just kind of talking to people in and around that whole situation. So who knows? We got Coach Brom coming up here, and I'll be sure to ask that question. And just a tough time. This is when you really get defined, Kyle. It's not when things are going good and people are slapping you on the back. That's not when you grow. This is when you grow, and this is when you really find out about people.
These opt-outs, Tom, I thought it was a good question somebody posed online. And I guess my assumption was that when you're opting out, that means that, at least in my opinion, I'm anticipating those guys coming back in the spring. Is that – and I know every guy is going to be different there, but my opinion of an opt-out is, you know, they're opting out on the rest of the season for generally – and again, every guy is going to make a decision differently, but generally because of health reasons. It's my opinion that those guys, again, generally would be welcomed back to the team. Is that the assumption that you're making as well?
Yes, it is. An opt-out doesn't equal gone forever. Jeff talked about that a bit on Thursday, to the point where, you know, they have conversations, Kyle, with every player after every season. And I'm sure he'll sit down with those guys who have opted out, and they'll talk about the future, you know, and come to some decision. So, yeah, but that's a general assumption with an opt-out is, it doesn't necessarily mean you're gone. You have not entered the transfer portal, which is a whole other realm. So, that's the opt-out. And, again, Kyle, typically when there's opt-outs going on all over America with these teams. But typically the guys opting out are NFL prospects whose teams are struggling. They're saying, hey, look, I don't want to take chances and get hurt. The season's going nowhere. Sorry, guys, but I got millions of dollars on the line. I want to start training for the NFL. Those typically are the guys opting out, not third-string running backs.
Yeah. It's a good point. Hey, thanks, Tom.
Take care, buddy.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll bring Brian in. We'll talk a little bit of football recruiting. Purdue got a couple of commits last week, including one for 2022. So we'll talk that. We'll also preview the ACC Big Ten Challenge with him. That's coming up next on Golden Black Radio. Gridiron Metalworks is your go-to for grill grates and griddles and home and office decor branded to your favorite team, Purdue. Browse the designs that incorporate Purdue's logo and the Boilermaker Special in stainless or carbon steel, as well as other outdoor goods such as planters, flower plots, and fire pits. This is your solution for the hard to shop for, and even featured on Purdue alum Brian Cardinal's Grill. Visit gridironmetal.com. The podcast is brought to you in part by JFQ Lending. With interest rates below 3%, there has never been a better time to lock in a low fixed interest rate on your mortgage. You'll never need to think about refinancing again. Set it and forget it. And with JFQ Lending, you are guaranteed to get the highest level of customer service. They have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau and more than 3,000 five-star reviews. Give Kyler compliment a call today at 323-607-8802 or email Kyler directly at kcompleman, that's KKOPPELMAN at jfqlending.com. JFQ Lending, equal access lender, licensed in more than 40 states, www.jfqlending.com. On the far end of Main Street in downtown Lafayette, you'll find East End Grill, industrial and classic. The restaurant is built like a steakhouse, but handles like a bistro. East End Grill's menu includes creative starters, simple chopped salads, burgers, fresh fish, and steaks, and the signature shrimp prepares every item from scratch and emphasizes simple meals that incorporate fresh, local, and seasonal ingredients. The warm and inviting dining room features a cozy bar that includes a great selection of craft beer, inspired cocktails, and a robust and expanding wine list. Whatever your entertainment needs are, a cocktail at the bar, dinner with family, or a special event in the private dining room, the energized and attentive staff is here for you. East End Grill in downtown Lafayette, welcome to our table. Golden Black Radio is brought to you by Home Field Apparel. Home Field makes premium collegiate apparel with vintage Purdue designs with incredibly soft and comfortable clothing printed and owned in Indianapolis. That's homefieldapparel.com for your premium Purdue apparel with vintage designs. Check it out today. Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue athletics. Hey, Kyle, back here with Brian. At least Brian will be back with us, I assume, here in just a moment. He was sitting there in the queue and then disappeared on me A big week in Purdue football recruiting. The Boilermakers got a couple of commitments, one from 2021. Those guys, presumably most of them, will sign here relatively soon. Javon Grigsby, a defensive back from Baton Rouge, and also then a 2021, so one of two now in that class for the Boilermakers, Dominic Moon, great name, from Fort Wayne. So the Boilermakers getting a couple of commitments here over the last couple of days, including Moon over the weekend. So we'll talk to Brian about that. Of course, basketball traveling to play at Miami for the ACC Big Ten Challenge, that game on a Tuesday. Well, let's start with those commitments, Brian. Purdue, as I was mentioning, getting a couple of commitments for the two classes over the last week. Grigsby, a defensive back from Baton Rouge, another spot it seems that Purdue needed to fill as it, I guess, looks to wrap, is that the right word, this class? I don't know how close Purdue really
conclude.
Is to the finish. Conclude?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess. Wrap,
that's the
wrap
word.
Up, conclude, put the finishing touches on.
Yeah. So they're full?
Well, I think they're relatively close. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
I think they're relatively close to being full. I think full is a moving target because, I think, just this past week, I think your scholarship numbers might have changed ever so slightly. You and Tom just talked about the opt-outs. I know those aren't necessarily guys going straight in the portal, but that doesn't mean a few of them might not end up there.
Right.
The opt-out thing has always been the deal with this season. That's always been on the table for everybody. It's just that now at Purdue, the context has kind of changed, where it's framed up against Purdue struggling, and it looks like something very different. It's possible some of those guys, don't come back. So your numbers might have just changed last week ever so slightly. The other part of it, too, is I know Purdue has been kind of holding back, some spots for the transfer wire, which could turn into the Wild Wild West here pretty soon. So there's probably there's probably some space there that can be used for whatever, they want to use it on. I was surprised that Purdue took another safety. It also happened to occur the day that your freshman safety happened to seem to incur what looked like a major injury, Antonio Stevens. But I was surprised Purdue took another safety. I was a little bit surprised Purdue went back to New Orleans or back to Baton Rouge for Javon Grigsby. I figured that, kind of went away after he didn't commit to Purdue in the first place, then went to Michigan State. But I think that, Purdue always liked him. He was always a high-priority guy for Purdue. I just didn't know if they would go there. Obviously, they, saw an opportunity to go there and went there. And if he's the player that Purdue thought he was way back when, then they got a pretty good one, I think, in their eyes. The Dominic Moon thing, I think he's a guy who was leaning to Purdue anyway. He was able to get to campus this weekend. That kind of sold him. A very early commitment. I know it's surprising sometimes when a team is struggling and they go on a little bit of run in recruiting. One thing I will kind of theorize about is sometimes when coaching staffs, programs are struggling, they're a little bit more inclined to take guys when they see opportunities to take guys, either, out of concern that things might get more difficult if the struggles continue, or to try to regenerate some momentum, to get some positive buzz, to get some positive mojo in the right direction. I don't know if that's necessarily the case here for Purdue, but I know when a lot of new staffs come in into college football situations with struggling programs, they take a ton of early commitments just to try to get some momentum going and whatnot. I don't know if that motivated Purdue to kind of push the buttons on a couple of guys here that it had the opportunity to get or not, but it might help explain the timing of all this in some small way at least. But the couple guys Purdue, seem to want at various stages of the respective processes and obviously was able to get done.
The guy's name is Moon. He had to land at Purdue.
just makes too much sense, doesn't it?
Yeah. All right, let's move on. Talk some basketball. That joke's never going to get old. Never. Or it's already old. One of the two. Let's talk some basketball.
I get to use it for like
the
Boilermakers. Five more years.
Yeah. Boilermakers get a victory and maybe a closer than anticipated. I called it sort of a grow-up game for a young team, letting the Crusaders hang around there a little bit before getting the victory in the end. And on Friday night, Purdue now playing in the Big Ten ACC Challenge. Early game tomorrow, 5 o'clock, with the tip down there in Miami. I guess what was your big takeaway from the game against Valpo and, taking that forward into taking on the Hurricanes?
Well, you were just, you kind of figured this team was going to have some turbulence because it's so young and so new. But you also wanted to see, how they function when they didn't shoot very well. And, I think both of those things were because Purdue came in, shoot 49% from three-point range. And, that wasn't going to be a season-long deal. There was inevitably going to come a point in time where they didn't shoot well. And, sure enough, there in that first half, especially, they didn't shoot well. And they didn't do a whole lot of other things positively to overcome their inability to shoot. It wasn't just the shooting, though. I mean, it's when you've got the ball in the hands of a 7-foot-4 guy who's shooting 83%, 2 inches from the rim, and he's 0-for-3 with a turnover, that's just kind of beyond explanation. But that sequence, those respective sequences from Zach Edey were kind of the face of that game and the face maybe of Purdue's team this year, is that he was inexplicably off in the first half, but then he was really, really good in the second half during that run where he changed the game. That's kind of the nature of being young. Brandon Newman has his first, bad game of the season. Zach Edey really, really struggles in the first half. When half of your guys in your playing rotation haven't played a college basketball game, hadn't played a college basketball game before the Liberty game, you can probably expect a little bit of that up and down nature. That was always going to be the deal. Now it's a matter of what they do with it. You remember there were teams years ago who lost games like this in Mackey Arena at home, a bunch of them, and then they kind of had their little moment of clarity after that and became really good afterwards. The 07 team lost to Wofford. One of those teams thereafter, all my years of running together, lost to North Florida, Wofford, or somebody, and then I think a third game, and then had to fight like hell to beat like Georgia State at home. They kind of learned from those experiences, and they got better because of them. Now Purdue has to, kind of be honest with itself when it watches that film from that game and how hideous it was and get better because of it.
Did Purdue lose to Gardner Webb at some point, or am I misremembering that?
Gardner Webb, yes, thank you. That was one of them, too.
Yeah. What a memory. I think that's at least Purdue, did the things they needed to do in the second half to avoid that sort of fate in a game that you felt like you were letting a lesser team hang around. Sometimes when that happens, they tend to get you there. But at least, as you said, Purdue, did do some things in the second half to turn what, could have been a loss into a victory.
Yeah. And I think that, a lot of that had to do with just getting Zach Edey established, just getting him back to being the player that you'd seen through the first few games of the season. Sasha Stefanovic has been great for this team so far this season. For a team without a whole lot of strong veteran presences, he's been kind of beyond reproach. He's done everything. He's given Purdue everything you could possibly want from him, and he kind of carried them there in the second half again, as sometimes he's prone to do. It was good to see Travion Williams get going too for Purdue because, I think he was 7-15 from the floor, which still isn't like that 60-70% shooting game, but he made important plays. He was just more a part of it. He was a much more impactful player offensively than he had been before. So your older guys, came up pretty big. I thought Mason Gillis gave them a really, really important stretch of energy, which might not necessarily show up in the box score, but I think was a big part of them kind of reversing their fortunes there in the second half against Valparaiso. And that's what you need. that's what you need this year, especially, you know, when you're Mackey Arena, you don't have the fans there to get you going when you need to get going. You need that one guy who can bring it from internally and, you know, kind of be that catalyst. And I thought Mason Gillis was a big part of Purdue doing that.
Purdue will get Jaden Ivey back at some point. We assume that would be relatively soon. It also will get Eric Hunter Jr. back at some point, and that might be relatively sooner than what we anticipated. It seems like, you know, he's pretty far ahead in his recovery process. When do you think maybe he could come back?
Who?
Hunter.
Yeah, I mean, he's
Eric Hunter.
He seems like he's well ahead of the 6 to 8 week time frame initially.
Yeah.
You know, just kind of watching him before the game, he was out there jogging around during warm ups, and I know he had done, you know, some stuff in practice last week. You're kind of ahead of that 6 week time frame, so the sooner Purdue can get him back, the better, because they need him. And as good as Isaiah Thompson was against Valparaiso, and he was really good, you know, Purdue needs Eric Hunter. He's such a big part of what they do in so many phases. That being said, you don't want him back until he's absolutely ready to be back. You can't throw him out there at less than 100% and run the risk of, you know, this becoming something more than it needed to be, too. So
yeah,
that day is coming here pretty soon when Purdue is whole again, I think, within the next couple of weeks, and then perhaps even the next week or two, where you got Eric Hunter and Jaden Ivey back, and suddenly you're back at full strength. You have to, you know, I don't know if there's any process involved with reacclimating those guys or them shaking off any rust or anything like that, but you would much rather have those guys than not have them, because they're both really good and really important players.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Brian.
No problem.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll put a wrap on this podcast. We'll do that next on Golden Black Radio.
It's time to boiler up and join the Braum squad by gearing up with the best selection of Purdue apparel in stock only at Follett's. Visit the Black and Gold Mine store across from Mackey or Follett's Purdue West on State Street for the best game day apparel from Nike, Columbia, Champion, Cutter and Buck, and more. Shop Follett's late on game day weekends. Follett's has been your Purdue game day stop since 1945. If you can't make it to the game, shop online at FollettsPurdue.com.
Often, things are worth more than they seem. For Purdue grad and NASA astronaut Jerry Ross, incredible value was found in the Purdue Alumni Visa. Not just because of the exclusive Purdue card designs, but for the unlimited cash back and out-of-this-world Visa benefits. Discover the official Purdue Alumni Visa credit card. Apply today at PurdueFed.com. Purdue Federal Credit Union. Belong where you have worth. Federally insured by NCUA.
The Chargers team at RE/MAX Ability Plus is your experienced real estate group in Greater Lafayette. If you're looking to list, buy, upsize, downsize, anything else, give me a call or text, 765-412-5217, or you can email at kyle@chartersteam.com.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue Athletics.
More on the site at goldandblack.com, including updates from Jeff Brohm's press conference here coming up shortly. Be sure to check that out. Previews as well for Purdue's Big Ten ACC Challenge game at Miami. All right, we'll be back Friday with our preview of Purdue and Indiana. Look for that to drop. However it is that you listen to your podcast at 11 o'clock on Friday. All right, that'll do it for our show for this week. Thanks to our sponsors. For Tom Deanhart and Brian Newbert, I'm Kyle Charters. Thanks for listening. This is Golden Black Radio.